So, an imam,
a priest, and rabbi walk into a bar.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Michelle Loris from Sacred Heart University, and I want to welcome you to A Rabbi, a Priest, and an Imam Walk Into. So I'd like to welcome our guests today, Imam Ghazman Agha and Rabbi Marcello Cormis and Father Anthony Ciara, all from Sacred Heart University. And at each one of our afternoon discussions, we talk about some of the big topics. Today, we're going to talk about suffering. So, gentlemen, why, if there is a good God, is there suffering?
Yeah. Well, you know, I deal with this constantly. I just want to begin, I'll throw this
Father
out
Sior.
To you. I have someone I was dealing with on Saturday, this past Saturday, and her son, she came home and she found her son, he hung himself. And she walked into this. And when I walked in, she threw something at me. Because I represented God to her, I guess. Why did God make this happen? All right. And then I was with her again yesterday, the same. So she still is struggling, is mad at God. Why did God make this happen? So it's an ongoing theme that I experienced in many, many ways in the ministry. So, you know, I'd love to hear in terms of what others have to say about this, in terms of similar kinds of stories.
I think this is one of the difficult questions for people who believe in God, right? Because we expect from God to make our lives easier without suffering, without pain. But that's not the world that we live in. And many years ago, I read a book that helped me to cope with suffering and with tragedy. It's a book that was written by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. I don't know if you
She wrote a book on death and dying.
Right, death and dying, that's the name of the book. And she talks there about these five stages that you have to go through when you are facing suffering or something difficult in your life. So she speaks about this first, this denial, right? That no, this cannot be happening to me. That it's unacceptable. How could this happen to me, right? And then she says, well, anger, right? So you're angry at the circumstances. You're angry at yourself. You're angry at what's going on with you in your life. Then this, you know, struggling to find meaning to what's happening to you. And then you come to a state of depression, she says, right? It's like, now where could I go? What could I do, right? And finally, this idea of acceptance, right? You're at peace with yourself and with the circumstances. But it's a long way until you get to that point of acceptance and you really go through these five steps to realize that this is happening to you. So the question is, for me, the question is not only how did this happen, but now what? How can I make sense of this being part of my life?
Imam, well, what do you think?
It's sometimes is funny the way how we expect that faith will improve our lives. I have an interesting story with my uncle. I told him that if he starts the day with the name of God, God will help him. And that day was his fourth day of his new car, and he said, okay, Ghazi, let's go to another city. And he started the car by saying, in the name of God, and he had an accident.
Oh,
that day.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
A small accident, but not, I mean, and then we laughed together because he was saying, hey, Ghazi, where is God helping me? Well, I told him that maybe he helped you and not having a bigger accident. Another crash. Yeah. So in this life, there is no perfect situation. And there is not just fun and just smiling. There is suffering too. And I think that that's part of our testing. Mm. And another thing is that we as people of faith, we sometimes learn how to look to the positive way, to the positive parts of life. And in Islamic theology, suffering sometimes is a test, is a sign, sometimes is a way how to pure ourselves, how to clean our sins, and sometimes is a dialogue between you and God. You ask him to help you. And sometimes when others are suffering, actually that's an invitation from God to you to help them. So is suffering a bad thing? I think that that would be another question. Personally, everyone thinks that suffering is a bad thing. Everyone would like to have a life without never being ill, with no problems. But I think that whenever we have that kind of situation, we forget to thank God, and we forget others too.
Well, Father, isn't suffering sort of central to Christianity, in that if you model your life after Jesus, I mean, suffering was part of his life.
Yeah, well, you know, getting back to the woman I'm dealing with right now, for me, the important thing is to be there with her, all right? Because I feel that ultimately suffering is a mystery. You don't fully understand. But what I can say is this, is number one, God doesn't cause suffering, but allows suffering to happen, right? Mm. Secondly, it is on a gut level, many people believe if something bad happens to me, God is punishing me, because that's the kind, that's the way God was portrayed to many of us. So, for example, my mother would say before the dinner, if you take the chocolate chip cookie, God's going to punish you. So even as a kid, I realized this was not true. I say, God doesn't care. He say, take two cookies, take three, right? But this is the idea.
And you're taking revenge. You give candies to every student. That's
there you go.
To.
I still give it. But I think from the Christian perspective, I would say this, that the Jesus who became human suffered. He suffered in the garden, the agony in the garden in Gethsemane, and he suffered on the cross. So ultimately, in some way, suffering can lead us to God, but not necessarily. But in the case of Christianity, our belief is that God walks with us. Mm. God does not abandon us. And to me, that's the consolation. But when someone is going through pain like this woman, it's not time for me to go and say to her, well, good's going to come out of this and God lo-. No, because they're in too much pain. So I feel what Jesus teaches us is to be a companion, to stay with those who suffer and who are in pain, even though we don't know the answer, but we stay with them. And in some way, this brings us together. And that ultimately, there may not be a solution, but we recognize that it's part of life, that there is suffering. But again, God is not the one who causes it. God, for whatever reason, allows it to happen.
And let me build on that. I think that God also provides us with the strength to face that suffering. And when I talk to people who are in circumstances, you know, very, very difficult in their lives, I tell them the story on Genesis chapter 22 about Abraham and Isaac. Remember the story when God shows up and says, Abraham, you have to take your son, bring him, you know, to the top of the hill, and sacrifice it for me, right? So Abraham was put to test. That was a huge test for him, right? So he needed to take his son that he waited so long for him. He puts, you know, his son on the altar, was about to, you know, to kill him. But then God shows up and says, no, don't do it. Now I understand that you really believe in me. And he lifts up his eyes and see a ram, right? That is there with his horn in one of the bushes there. So the idea there from a Jewish perspective is that when we are put to test, God is giving us also the strength to face it, but also a way out from it. And as you said, probably this is not going to appeal to someone who's going through a very difficult moment at that same time. But then with time and the, you know, the right moment to talk to people who are suffering, when you tell them that God is with them and God is holding them and strengthening them to face it, I think it makes sense for many people.
Well,
yes, Imam.
I believe that God has placed a physical and moral laws, and sometimes suffering comes as a result as abusing with this system of laws. It's like abusing with alcohol, abusing with your health. I think that part of your faith is taking care about what God gave to you as a bless. We live in 21st century, and I think that suffering and social problems are maybe the most common thing of all religious beliefs. In all our congregations, we have adults and youth with drug abuse, with other problems that they have. Just 2 weeks ago, a young lady called me and he said that I need your help. My son is 18 years old. He doesn't want to talk with her father, with his father. He abuses with alcohol. He doesn't want to go to school. So please help me. So here you will never have a magic saying or a magic prayer to fix these things. But as Father Tony said, for me as a person, as a human being, and as a Muslim, my task there is to go talk with him, be with him, and support him. The test of the young guy is trying to have that faith and have that strength and seeing that even that suffering, it has a solution. So sometimes suffering is not from just to test us, but it's because of our faults.
It's interesting. I have discovered through my rabbinate that timing is super important when you are trying to support someone who's going through suffering. And I found that when you're experiencing a deep suffering, there are no words that could possibly help you at that very same time. Mm. And as you said, Father Tony, I think that being there for them and knowing or let them knowing that you are there for them and that they can reach out to you at any moment and you will be there, it's a big, big source of comfort for many people. Mm.
Father Tony, what were you going to say?
I feel we need to be careful not to trivialize God or to make God into a magic pill.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful of invoking God's name when people are suffering. Because I come back to the book of Job, for example. Mm. The Job who the suffering comes to him out of nowhere. And it was never, the reason was never given. Why? And to me, it comes down to this. I have no idea why this is happening. No idea whatsoever. But I believe that God does in some way, right? So in faith, I believe this. Now, not everyone resolves suffering in that way. People, I deal with people who carry it on for years and years and years and years. I look at someone like C.S. Lewis, for example. His mother died when he was a kid. And he expected God to heal the mother. Mm. God didn't do it. For years, he went without faith. He became an atheist and denied God and whatever. And only after many, many years that it took him to get over that. And that's okay. I think it's important that we take people where they're at and to be careful of quick solutions and saying that I have an answer to all of this because I don't have an answer for it.
You know, it's interesting. I know I mentioned this book before, but Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. Mm-hmm. And so his experience is in a concentration camp. He's in Auschwitz. And one of the great epiphanies he has is that his suffering gives his life meaning, that it is part and parcel of our mortal human life, and that it is very much something that gives his life purpose and meaning. Those are almost his exact words. He doesn't talk about God in relationship to that, just something that he's come to himself. I mean, for the person who's suffering, it's impossible, I think, to see that at that moment. And for Frankl, I think he came to it a little bit toward the end of his time at Auschwitz. Mm.
Mm. Well, this idea that there is no growth without suffering, right? Sometimes you have to suffer in order to grow as a human being, right? And Rabbi Kushner, for example, he wrote this book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, right? Which is, the title is very appealing, right? Because why would a good person suffer, right? That doesn't make sense. But I think that inside that idea or within that idea is the idea that it's part of a growth, right?
I would add, I don't like suffering. I really don't. And I'm happy if I don't have it.
That's part of our prayer. not having things.
I'm happy not to have. I don't like it. Having said that, now I'm speaking just for myself, and I would never impose this on anyone else. I have found, however, that where I have grown the most in my own life is when suffering has come my way.
Yes.
When suffering, for me, I would never preach this to people, but for me personally, when everything is going well, I don't need God. For me, I am God. When things begin to fall apart, I begin to grow and change. Mm-hmm. So personally, I have found that I grow in those situations. So, and again, that's just for me.
Yeah. It's even in Quran, one fourth of Quran is about stories of prophets, starting with Adam, Jonas, Jacob, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. And we believe that they were the best people ever, but also we learned that they were persons who suffered more than everyone. And sometimes we need to define what is suffering and what is evil, what is bad, and what is part of testing. This is the century where we have maybe less sickness than ever, less poverty than ever when you compare with two centuries ago. But in this century, when you don't have too much suffering as before, you have more non-believers than ever. So it's about growing spiritually and how you face suffering and not putting God as the guilty one.
You know, there's this idea that I find it very, very inspiring, and it's that you can connect the dots only when you look backwards and not when you look forward. I mean, when you are suffering, you try to find, you know, the explanation of suffering, but sometimes you have to go through it and look backward in order to connect the dots and understand why you went through that particular transition in your life.
Yeah,
go ahead, Father.
I did one last thing.
This is our last.
I think it's important never to judge anyone, ever.
But that,
for this reason, very often you don't know the pain someone is going through. You don't know what's going through in their lives. And very often people are carrying great burdens and they're in a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not even be in touch with it. So it's a basic principle that I have. When people start acting out, I often say to myself, what is it that they're going through?
Empathy. Right?
And so that therefore just being careful not to judge the other.
Maybe sometimes suffering that is, you know, a small suffering for one person could be an enormous burden for somebody else, right?
But I think what, Father, you're pointing out is really important, and that is for us to have compassion and to be with the person who's suffering. And I suppose the hope is that when we're suffering, there will be someone there with us.
Yep. So what I try to do is that when I suffer myself, I can reflect as this is a test from God, but when I talk with others, not saying that this is your test. Everyone should have his own reflect and own decision.
Well, I think that's probably where some of the growth comes from, or at least that you were talking about. Well, thank you very much. It's really a very interesting discussion. I want to say to our listeners, thank you for being here today with a rabbi, a priest, and an imam walk into. Join us again when next we'll be talking about fanaticism and fundamentalism.